So let's prepare our hearts to hear God's word preached. Our Father in heaven, we do come before you, and we do thank you, O Lord, for giving us many gifts, including our mothers, our grandmothers, those godly women in our lives that have shown the love of God, shown in our instruments of grace to us. And we pray that you would enable us to stay as the world has set aside this day to honor mothers, so we do also. We honor you who gives us such wonderful mothers, such wonderful women. And so we ask, O Lord, for your blessing upon our examination of Proverbs chapter 31, and not only what it calls mothers to be and to do, but also calls us all, men and women, boys and girls, and concerning honoring our mothers. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So what comes to mind, beloved, when you hear the phrase, a Proverbs 31 woman? For some ladies, it's impossible, right? You read all of those things. That woman is an amazing woman who's described here, isn't she? For some, it's guilt. I can never live up to that standard. For some, it's amazement. How could anyone like that actually live? Or incredulity, as one person said. There's an author, his name is Philip Ryken, and some of the insights that I'm going to be sharing today come from him. And he said of his father, he said, my father always liked to read Proverbs 31 on Mother's Day. However, I'm not sure my mother appreciated it. Proverbs 31 is a poem of praise for the wife of noble character. And he goes on to say, not many women compare favorably with Lemuel's description, but my mother happens to be one of them. She is a noble woman, but yet at the same point in time, my mother felt differently when read. When she looked at Proverbs 31, it made her feel guilty, for she knew that she could never fully measure up to the biblical ideal. And so I'm walking on thin ice right now in bringing up this particular portion of scripture, but I think that hopefully if you listen, I think you will appreciate it. Who is this woman that is described in Proverbs 31? The authors or commentators have said, well, she's the idealized virtuous woman. So she's the ideal. She's a model. She's something that should be looked at and followed. Some argue that in reality, this is a picture of the church. If you read the early church fathers, that's how they understood this particular passage of scripture, that it was focusing on the church. Or there were some say that this is the crowning glory of the book of Proverbs. For those of you that have read the book of Proverbs, and especially as we're going to look at how much in the book of Proverbs the focus is on wisdom personified as a woman, and here we come to the very end, or the crown, the conclusion, if you will, of the book of Proverbs, again, we have a woman. So my question is, who is this woman? And the answer is yes, yes, and yes. It is all three. The idealized virtuous woman, it is a picture of the church, and it is the crowning glory of the book of Proverbs. So, the fear of the Lord, according to the book of Proverbs, chapter 1 and other places, is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom, and the end thereof is virtue, honor, and life. And so, if you go back and you listen, and if you think about what we just read, that is what we just read. The idea of a woman who feared the Lord, she has knowledge and wisdom, she's a virtuous woman, she is honored, and she has life. Thus, in Proverbs 31, we behold the glorious beauty of the outworking of that godly fear in the life of a wife and mother. My question to you today is, what are you doing to encourage and strengthen such a life? So we come to the end of the book of Proverbs, and we are looking at this wisdom personified as a woman. As a matter of fact, the word wisdom in Hebrew has a feminine ending to it. So it makes sense in some ways that it was that the author is using a woman in that picture. So if you go all the way back to chapter 1, and we work our way forward, in chapter 1, beginning in verse 20, we read, "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses, at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you." And so we actually last Sunday during Sunday school focused on that particular passage. But not only in chapter 1, but onward into chapter 3, verses 13 through 18, chapter 4, verses 5 through 9, chapter 5, verses 3 through 23, chapter 7, 4 through 27, chapter 8, and chapter 9. This personification of wisdom is declared and described in various ways. And I'll leave that up to you. Basically, the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs, you will find a number of those pictures there. So what is it that our text says? I want to focus in on 3 verses in particular. First of all, verse 11. "The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain or spoil." We, brothers and sisters, are called to live by faith. Our lives are lives where we walk by faith or trust in God and in God's wisdom. As a matter of fact, Paul, when he is speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, he refers to it as wisdom from God. It, later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, as he writes to the church there, we read him speak concerning the message of the cross, verse 18, "is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. So Christ is the wisdom of God. Again, we read in verse 30 of the same chapter, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." And so ultimately, Jesus is the wisdom of God. He is wisdom personified. We must trust in his wisdom. In order to be saved, you must trust in the wisdom. Again, what is wisdom? Wisdom is skills in living. How must you live? You must live by the word of God, by God's wisdom. We must trust him. And our trust has practical effects. We are called to respect or fear the Lord, to walk in that wisdom, and to honor him in all things. And so Paul later on in 1 Corinthians will write, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God, all to honor him." And so, brothers and sisters, we are called to honor God all the days of our lives. And that includes honoring those whom God has given us for our good. That includes our mothers and fathers. And so again, let us look at this passage. Verse 11, the heart of her husband safely trusts her so that he will have no lack. I think you could include children as well, because children trust their mother, right? From birth, you are forced to trust your mother because you can't do anything. Again, as I said before, isn't it amazing that God has determined that human children are completely helpless? They cannot, like, unlike many animals, that when they're born, they land on their feet and are able to walk, or within a very short period of time are able to walk and to eat and so on. Human babies are completely helpless, and not for just a few days, but years, isn't it? New mother here, I'm not going to mention your name, but you're learning that, aren't you? How dependent that child is. So that child, whether he likes it or not, or we like it or not, must trust your mother, must trust your words also, not only your actions, but your words. So again, if we go to the book of Proverbs again and again, mom speaks. So all the way in chapter 1, we read of the words of the woman, or it says, hear my son, verse 8 of chapter 1, the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your neck and chains about your neck. That word law or instruction, listen to the instruction of your mother and don't forsake it. It will be a glory to you, and it will take care of you. We are called, children, you are called to trust your mother and her word and to receive the kingdom as a little child by faith. So what does that, how does that work out practically? Well, how about teenage daughters speaking and listening to their mother concerning the clothes they wear? Has that ever happened? Has there ever been a conflict in the home about what you're walking out with? Does mom know best? Is there wisdom in her observations? I would say so. What about teenage son and curfew? Is that ever a conflict? When you should be back at home and why? Mom loves you and cares for you, and so the look, she's looking out for you. What about unfamiliar food? There's a joke around in my house that I'm an adventurous eater. I love eating new kinds of things. But I don't know about sometimes with children, unless I know that it's safe, I've eaten it before, I won't eat it. I don't know. Do you have children in your family like that? That they are safe? It's safe because I've eaten it before, but don't give me something new? Well, what happens when mom says, try this, you'll like it? Do you trust her? And so, children, trust your mother and her word. But the text here is not focusing on children. It is focusing on husband. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. Charles Bridges, in his commentary on Proverbs and on this verse, says the following. The price of a virtuous woman has been told. Her fidelity, her oneness of heart, her affectionate dutifulness makes the heart of her husband safely to trust her. A faithful wife and a confiding husband mutually bless each other. With such a jewel for his wife, the husband has no misgivings. He feels that his interests are safe in her keeping. There is no need to look into the matters entrusted to her with suspicious eye. He has no reserve, no jealousies. Ruling in his sphere without, he encourages her to rule in her sphere within. All is conducted with such prudence and economy that he has no need of spoil, no temptation to unjust gain, no need to leave his happy home in order to enrich himself with a soldier's spoil. And so the husbands, do you trust your wife? Again, Philip Ryken says it this way, and I thought it was helpful. Now, in order for her to do all the things that are recorded in Proverbs 31, the wife of noble character must have the complete trust and unconditional support of her husband. If he were always looking over her shoulder, finding fault with her way of doing things, or insisting on doing everything himself, she would never have the freedom to develop her gifts as God intended. But the noble husband depends on his wife to look after the needs of their family. And so this is an exhortation or an encouragement. Brothers in Christ, do you trust your wife? Children, do you trust your mother? Does your heart safely trust her? Scripture here says that you will not lack gain. And so what should we do? We should encourage her by trusting her rather than second-guessing and arguing with her. How much time is spent arguing with your mother rather than listening to her and trusting her? This is Mother's Day. This is a day when we are called to trust our mothers. Secondly, our second point, it is important for you to be worthy of respect. Look at verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Young men, you who are looking for a Proverbs 31 woman, a Proverbs 31 woman has no interest in you if you are not a Proverbs 31 man. Do you understand that? If she really is a Proverbs 31 woman, then she's discerning of what it is she's looking for in a man. And so if you're not a Proverbs 31 man, she's not going to be interested. And so another way of saying that is become a man of noble character first. And that's what the book of Proverbs is designed to do, is to teach us on what it is to be a noble, a virtuous man or a virtuous woman. And so make the book of Proverbs your study. We are working through that on Sunday during the Sunday school and the adult class. But even if you don't go to the class, read the book of Proverbs. It's designed to cause you to grow in the fear of the Lord, which leads to wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So what can we learn from Proverbs 31 as men there in verse 23? Well, first of all, notice her husband is known in the gates. He's known as a hard worker. He also has respect in the community. To be known in the gates in this time is to be in a position of authority. To be in the gates was one of the rulers of the city. So her husband not only is known as one who works well, but one who is honored and given authority by the community. He is an elder, if you will, one respected. He is a hard worker. Brothers, your wives, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, says, let the wife see that she respect her husband. Please make her life easier by being respectable. It's easier to respect a respectable man than it is to respect someone who is not. So make her life easier. Be a leader in the home. Not only a leader in the community, in your job, but also in the home. One of the great challenges of a man is when he comes home from work, is to take on that responsibility of being a leader. Yes, she's been running the home, but it's time when you walk through the door, you take off one hat and you put on another hat, and you are there to help and assist, to lead. Again, brothers, we are called to be servant leaders. The emphasis is on servant leaders. Thirdly, he is also a man of character. Again, Ryken says, one of the things that activates the wife of noble character is her husband's nobility. Your character affects her greatly. So if you want a Proverbs 31 woman as your wife, then you need to be a Proverbs 31 man, a man of character, a man, a godly man, one who has God's character qualities being developed in you. The other thought on for young men who are looking for a Proverbs 31 woman, it takes time to develop those characteristics, just like in you. And so if you're looking for Proverbs 31 to be fully developed in all areas of life, is that fully developed in all areas of your life? No, it takes time. Is there a teachable spirit? Is there a desire on her part to become that, to become a godly woman? Third point, it is important to praise her. And I think this is very important. When was the last time, brothers in Christ, when was the last time that you said to your wife, I am so appreciative of you. Thank you. You are awesome. Or something along those lines. When was the last time that you thanked your wife for just being there and for being who she is? Praise is not mindless. Praise requires engagement of the mind, focused on the attributes or the reasons for praise. In other words, brothers and sisters, kids, this is included because our text, verse 28, says, her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. So we're all involved here. Praise requires us to look for reasons and then communicate value and worth. Honey, thank you for making dinner today. That was an excellent meal, even if it wasn't. That was an excellent meal. You didn't burn the bacon. Finding those things. Thank you for being there. Thank you for putting up with me. For loving your children. For loving our children. A wife and a mother needs praise from her husband and her children. Her work is extremely demanding at home and in the wider world. You know the old statement, man works from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Imagine the energy necessary for taking care of not one, not two, but many people. The energy, I don't know about you, but I think sometimes that is the most draining thing is interacting with people. I can work at a job physically. I've been doing a lot of remodeling lately and getting all muddy and all. But working with people sometimes are the most, probably the most challenging, energy-draining aspects of life, and especially as a mother. Because you can't just leave the child. You know, you go deal with this child. No, it's a 7/24 job, isn't it? So her work is never done. So beware of a critical spirit that it discourages and even crushes her. It at least discourages her in her enthusiasm. So this is also children. Are you aware that you can discourage your mother? Have you done so this week? In complaining, in fighting, grumbling, these are things that will discourage your mother. Again, Proverbs 31:28. Children, her children rise up and called her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Now notice, that is the words of her husband to her. You are worthy of praise. Beware of that critical spirit. Brothers, husbands, you are not just husbands, but you're husbandmen. Do you know what a husbandman is? Well, we use the term farmer, okay, or cultivator. Adam, when he was placed into the garden, was called to husband the garden, right? To till the ground and to keep it. Well, that also includes his wife. How did Adam do? Did he guard his wife when temptations came from the devil? Did he fulfill his calling as husband and protector? The answer is no. And thanks, because of that, we're all dealing with sin, aren't we? He failed as a husband in guarding his wife. He was there when Satan was tempting her. Brothers, you are called to be a husbandman. You are called to be a farmer. You are called to be a cultivator of your wife. And one of the most effective tools that you have in your gardening toolbox is praise. So in many ways, Mother's Day is a great day to practice that praise. Again, verses 28 through 31 gives us things that are praised. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Is that a practice in your home to encourage your wife? To look for and speak about, to encourage your mother, to look for and speak about. When was the last time, kids, that you actually said thank you, Mom, besides Mother's Day? Besides the day you have to. So Proverbs 31, although we read about this woman, is also for all of us. It's a call to honor those who God has placed. And so in conclusion, Proverbs 31 is an Old Testament example of faithful love in action. I didn't actually say that earlier, but in a sense, isn't that what moms are? If you want to know what love in action looks like, just watch, look at your mother. In other words, it is 1 Corinthians chapter 13 revealed in practical ways. Through the love, the faithful love, of a godly wife and mother. In honoring her today, we give honor to the one who made her and provides his grace and spirit to make her who she is. And so we praise the God who gave us our mothers, and we do so by honoring them today. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for granting unto us such godly examples, not only in our own biological mothers, but our spiritual mothers all about us, and those godly women that we have met and we have gotten to know in our lives. We pray that you would bless them, and we pray that you would enable us as children and as husbands, even for mothers in honoring their mothers. Help us, Lord, to trust them, trust their word. Help us, Lord, also to be those men and women of virtue. How encouraging it is for a mother when she sees her sons and her daughters being godly men and women, encouraged to see them pursue you, knowing that you're going to heaven. And also, we pray that you'd help us, Father, to find and to look out for those good things and to praise them, to speak concerning these things, to encourage, lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. And so we ask, O Lord, for the ability to overcome our self-centeredness, our eye orientation, and look out and to show forth the love of Christ in loving those outside of us, even starting with our mothers and fathers. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.